From Hollywood, our land be bright. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. Our Land Be Bright is presented by the Veterans of Foreign Wars of the United States and is produced and transcribed in Hollywood.
This is the voice of the Veterans of Foreign Wars, speaking from Washington. Today, there is one great threat to our American way of life and to world peace. You know that threat is communism.
Communism stands for the destruction of our American form of government. It stands for the destruction of American democracy. It stands for the destruction of free enterprise. And it stands for the creation of a Soviet of the United States and ultimate world revolution.
Those are the words of J. Edgar Hoover, director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. These facts about communism condemn it before the bar of public opinion. It just won't work for free men. But sometimes free men become confused and are tricked into believing communism is better than democracy. Now, that's what almost happened to young Sullivan, a veteran of World War II. He was walking through a public park one day during the noon hour. Some idlers standing about in groups were listening to a soapbox orator.
What we are trying to do and intend to succeed in doing is to provide ourselves with weapons, ideological weapons, to be used in a mass struggle. We must fight for the proletariat. Look at me. Do I look like I could lead you astray? That's nonsense. You are men, you can think for yourselves. And so I say it to you.
Who are you?
Who am I? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Who are you? Whom do you represent?
The man over there asks, who do I represent? Why, I represent the people.
What people?
The veterans of the People's Democratic Anti-Fascist Movement.
Sounds like a lot of moxie. I don't get it.
No, and some of the rest of us don't get it either.
Yeah.
Let's go get a cup of coffee.
Okay.
My name's Barton.
Mine's Sullivan.
I'm glad to know you. Were you in the service?
Yeah.
The other side?
Pacific. Flamethrower.
Oh, one of them fellows who cooked them, huh?
Yeah, you might call it that, only it wasn't funny seeing them fry. I could never get used to it. Too soft, I guess.
Perhaps not. Just normal American, I'd say. But you wouldn't stay normal very long listening to fellas like that soapbox orator we just left.
Why not?
Because he's a flamethrower, too.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. I don't know.
Meanwhile, young Sullivan's father, who's desk sergeant at the police station of the 4th Precinct, has been having a busy day. A drunk has just been arrested, and two young sailors, looking rather sheepish, stand beside the offender while Sergeant Sullivan says...
What's the charge, Officer Thomas?
Causing a disturbance on a streetcar.
I didn't do nothing. These gubs here...
Hey, you want another smack in the nose?
Quiet! Nobody's smacking anybody around here. Not yet. What did you say again? I can't hear very well.
I said I didn't do nothing.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought you said. Well, now, that's an offense right there. Your grammar's awful. You mean to imply that an officer belonging to our precinct isn't telling the truth? Well, now, that's very disturbing to us. So if you didn't create a disturbance on the streetcar, you've done so now. Lock him up, Thomas.
Who's charging me?
There is no charge. It's free. Furthermore, you'll receive a reward. You can have your day in court. It's one of our little guarantees.
Thanks, Sergeant. I'll feel better in the morning.
I hope so. Officer, see that he has a nice, comfortable bed.
Come along.
And now, you boys.
Yes, sir.
What do you mean by starting a fracas on a streetcar? Don't you know a public conveyance isn't the aft deck of a cruiser? You're on your way into the brig. I suppose you know that, both of you. Well, speak up.
Sir, I guess we just couldn't help it. That fella called our ship a floating jail.
Yeah, he was insulting passengers.
Yeah, I made fun of an old lady.
Right. Do my ears deceive me, or are you trying to accuse a man who isn't present to defend himself? What's that you say about an old lady?
Yeah, he said an old lady ought to stay off streetcars.
Yeah, and he started to run down the country, too.
Yeah,
So we let him have it.
So, the fella we just locked up for the night, you say, was impolite to a lady and disloyal to America.
Yes, yes.
Well, the first accusation should keep him in for life, and the second should hang him. It's good I'm not the judge whom he'll be standing before in the morning. I didn't write the laws, but I've got only me duty to think of. Well, that's enough to release you both. Leave your names with the clerk and be in the court as witnesses tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock.
Hey, thanks, Sergeant. Hey, you're all right.
Yes, right okay. Guy.
A right guy. Okay. Did you hear what they said, Riley?
I heard, but I'm not for expressing my own opinion.
If those young spalpeens only knew me back in them days when I was their age. I mind the time, Riley, when we first came to America from the grain land across the sea. It wasn't easy finding work, and there were vices. Everywhere I went, vices, trying to lead a young man astray.
You got no money? See, I know where there's a store and a cash box we could clean up. You're getting a dirty deal. Denounce the country. Help to overthrow the government.
Yeah, that's it. We're having a meeting tonight. Learn about the party line.
The party line? Well, I went to that meeting.
Tonight! We have with us a man come direct over from Moscow. He was in Russian Bolshevik Revolution of 1917 and helped Lenin to establish the dictatorship for the proletariat. Workers, I give you Mr. Boris Petrovsky.
That's right. I was with Lenin when we held our first convention in Moscow in 1919. And organized the Third International to promote worldwide revolution. The Comintern, the Communist International, was formed over there to direct this revolution, and the American section of the Comintern was formed in 1921. That was the beginning of what we now call the Communist Party of the United States. Now, I do not have to tell you what this party means and what we have pledged ourselves to accomplish. You all know our manifesto. We have sworn to overthrow all existing social conditions. It is our doctrine that capitalists and the proletariat, that is to say, employers and workers, are natural enemies. The masses are the real strength of society and must take over the state. In order to do this, we must destroy the American form of government and create the Soviet of the United States. To support the Soviet of Russia, therefore, is the duty of the communists all over the world.
You see, we Irish had been having trouble ourselves over in Dublin. That's why we came here, Riley, to live with members of our family who were born on this side.
And do you mind the day we got our citizenship papers?
I do that, Riley. And can you remember the Pledge of Allegiance?
I'm pretty sure I can. Let's try it.
Yes.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That was a grand
day. It was, that, surely. But your boy, Sullivan, does he feel the same way?
By all the saints, what do you mean?
I mean he's not a happy lad, Sullivan. Not since he came back from this new war.
Well,
I saw him listening in the park just this noon to one of them noisy fellas.
Well, can't a man listen? It's a free country, you
know. Now, don't get mad, Sullivan. Sure a man can listen when his heart's in the right place, but I'm minding you. What you said about voices.
Aye, that's right, Riley. Voices.
So that night, when young Sullivan got home...
What's the matter, lad?
Plenty. Life's not easy, Dad, as it used to be. There's something wrong with the people. I don't get it. I'm getting kicked around, and I don't like it, Dad.
Have you tried the VFW?
You mean the Veterans of Foreign Wars?
Well, that's it, exactly.
No, what could they do for a guy like me?
Well, you're a veteran, aren't you?
Yeah, sure.
And you're a good American citizen, aren't you?
I'm trying to be.
Very well, then. Your old man knows what he's talking about.
You've got veteran preferences and re-employment rights. Well, that's more than I had when I was in the World War I. Oh, the country's not going to let you down, son.
Father, I I'm dead. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, no.
I don't know what to do.
Listen, son. I know you're tired. The whole world's tired. You better go to your room and get some sleep. We'll talk things over in the morning, huh?
All right, Dad. I'll go.
My son's a man. A real man. There's a lot of fight in him. But he's got to be able to see what he's fighting. That's it he's got to see. He's got to see.
The next morning, Desk Sergeant Sullivan didn't report for duty. Instead, he went to the office of the Veterans of Foreign Wars.
Are you Commander Mulligan?
I am. What can the VFW do for you?
Well, you've got a good Irish name, Commander Mulligan. My name is Sullivan, Dan Sullivan. I'm desk sergeant at the police station of the 4th Precinct.
Well, that's interesting, Sergeant. Won't you sit down?
Thank you kindly. Commander, I've got a boy who was in this last war. Mm-hmm. He's a good lad, but he's confused. Since he got out of service, he hasn't had much luck, so he's been listening to some of them voices.
Voices?
Yes, voices. The same kind I used to hear myself when I first came over here. In the old country, we used to call them leprechauns. Good ones and bad ones. When a man's in trouble, they come a-whispering. He hears them when he walks around alone. And when he tries to sleep, then they sit on his pillow. They take hold of his ears and they speak evil words. Now, that's why I've come to see you, about them voices.
Well, Sergeant, if I hadn't had a father of my own who hailed from County Clare, I might be wondering by now how the veterans of foreign wars could figure in a conference over leprechauns. But I think I know very well what you mean. Your son needs advice, but from the right advisors. Isn't that it?
Exactly. Yeah, he's a bright lad and a good fighter. And...
he'd have to be if he's a Sullivan. Where is he now?
Oh, he's at home. He's sleeping late this morning.
You say he was in the war?
He was that. He was in the South Pacific helping Japanese...
Helping them?
Well, in a manner of speaking, yes, sir. You see, it was necessary to assist many of them on their way to the fiery pits of Satan.
Oh,
and so he singed their tails with a flamethrower. They got there faster that way.
Oh, a member of the Army Chemical Battalion.
Yes.
Say, I've been wanting to meet one of those veterans for a long time. They had a tough assignment.
And what, may I ask, would you be after doing for him?
Well, Sergeant, first we want to straighten your soldier out. Get his sights adjusted in regard to his reemployment rights. And after that, after he gets interested in some community activity...
Local politics, perhaps,
yeah, perhaps.
Well, now, what might he be doing?
Well, with that flame-throwing technique, don't you think he might be able to aim a few hot arguments at those leprechauns?
Our Land Be Bright is presented in the public interest by this station and hundreds of others from coast to coast and overseas, in cooperation with the veterans of foreign wars. Next week, and always, long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King.
This Veterans of Foreign Wars program was transcribed in Hollywood and Washington, and was produced by Robert J. Enders.